In today's podcast, we're talking about how do you know if the idea that you have is a good idea? What are some things that you have to look out for to know or to feel like you're at least heading in the right direction? We're going to be talking about that today. So make sure you join us in the episode. It's going to be a good one. If you are a female entrepreneur who is serious about starting, growing, or scaling your business, but you are really finding it challenging to make the money that you want to make, or you're finding that the resources, maybe even the technology, and even some of the gurus are really just more expensive and cost more than you really want to spend right now, but you know that if you had the resources that you needed, you can really thrive in your business. If that's for you, then this podcast is for you. My name is Dr. T, and I am proud to be one of the co-founders of CCOClub.com and CCO Club Podcast, where we are building a space and a community to be able to serve you. But get this, we are much, much more than just a community. Our goal is to create an ecosystem where we have our own engagement, we create our own technology platforms, we are creating our own shared spaces, some TV channels, and even much, much more. And we want to be able to do that with the very women who want to connect with us, because what we know is that we can always be stronger together. So if that's you, make sure you hang out to learn much more about what we have going on, and we will see you on the inside. Hey there, this is your girl, your sister, and your mentor, Dr. T, coming to you with another episode from CCO Podcast. We are talking to folks out there who are trying to do the doggone thing with their business, with their life, with their ministry, and we want to be here to support you. We want to be here to help you to move in the right direction, because we believe that we can be stronger together. So make sure you go over to the website, CCOClub.com. It's in the description. That's C, the letter C, she, S-H-E, O, the letter O, club.com. And you will get some more information on what it is that we're doing, because you know what we're doing? A lot, because we want to help a lot of people. And so this podcast is really dedicated to that. I appreciate those of you who've been joining me all around the world. Those of you who don't miss a beat, I hope that you are getting something out of this. You are being blessed by this. And I just appreciate, just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate it, who you are and what it is that you do. So in today's episode, we are talking about what are some of the ways that you can know if you have a good idea, a good business idea, a good business venture, a good thing that you're trying to do in your business? And I think I have five key indicators that I think will help you. And I'm going to talk about them from a couple of different perspectives. And then I'm going to round up my list by kind of culminating what I think in today's world, today, at the time that you're listening to this podcast, and this podcast is being recorded, what can you do today? Because there's a lot of different things out there that you can do. You can go high ticket offer, you can go all digital, you could do something where you're just a coach, you could do something where you're teaching people how to do something, you can do passion projects. There's a lot of different ways that you can go about doing things. You can do only email marketing, you can only do SEO, there's so much to do out there. And I'm glad about that, but also sometimes it can be very, very confusing to know if what it is that you are doing is on the right track. So that's what we're going to be talking today. And so I have five indicators that I think will be very, very important for you as you continue to move forward in your business. And while these, for some of you, might sound like, oh yeah, I know that. Well, I'm going to spin it. Y'all know how I do. I'm just going to give you I'm going to round it out a little bit more, right? And so I'm going to give you the list first, and then we're going to go one by one on that list. So number one is, do you solve a real problem, right? Is there a genuine pain point or need that your target audience faces? So that's simple. Do you solve a real problem? Most of the time, that's not challenging to answer. Are you solving a problem? You know, like, for example, let's just say one of the one of the biggest things out there is weight loss, right? So you could be solving a problem of weight loss, but everybody that needs weight loss not trying to lose weight, that might set somebody free right there. Because sometimes you might be talking to a segment of the population that's not necessarily ready for that change in lifestyle to lose the weight that they need to lose. So while it may be something that's solving a problem, you still have to deal with the people who are ready to find a solution to that problem. So that's something that's important. I've done that extensively, or talked about that extensively in my ebook that I did. And maybe I'll put a link to it below, maybe not. But you got to go to CCO Club to find out more about that. Anyway, shameless plug right there. Did you guys see that? All right, so solve a real problem. Now, you a unique value proposition, right? It's something different than what somebody else has already done. It's apart from the competition. Now, I have a, I keep thinking about that a lot, right? I keep thinking about that a lot. And in reality, I don't know if you always need something totally different. And here's why. Because if you're doing something exactly the same, and again, you may disagree with this. Like, I understand the need for understanding your competition, but I just want to give you something a little bit different to think about, is that even if you do something exactly the same as someone else, people are going to resonate with you more than that other person or product or service. And some is going to resonate more, right? Some people come across when they get started and their name becomes the industry name, the industry standard for it, right? And that's just what you call it, right? And that just is what it is. But you don't always necessarily have to have something that's 1,000% different. You just may have, it may be exactly the same, like coaching. It's a lot of people out there to do coaching. A lot of people do transformation coaching. A lot of people do transformation coaching for women executives. Like, it's a lot of people. There are going to be only certain people that are going to resonate with you and certain connections that you have. So don't always be afraid to go out there and do something that's similar to other people. But the uniqueness of it is technically about how yours is different from the competition. That's number two. Number three is, it could be, so we're talking about key indicators that you might be on, your idea might be good. Is it a passion, or you have an expertise for it? Sometimes passion sells, sometimes it doesn't. Now, the reason why I said that is because there are a lot of us who, passion can be blinding for some people. This might set somebody free. Like, you might be so inundated and so blinded by what it is that you want to do with your passion that you forget to look at the other indicators that might be staring you in the face. I remember when I was doing my dissertation 1,000 years ago, and I was in my cohort. There was a gentleman who was writing his dissertation, but it was literally a passion project. And when I spoke to him more about it, he had been working on it for 10 years. Now, come on now. You can't get your dissertation done if you're still inundated with that. And I remember a professor changed my life. She told me that if you continue on a passion project with what you want to do, it can be harder to finish. But if you do something that you are less passionate about, you can get it done. Now, this is what they were saying. So when I started, again, just a little dovetail, but I started my dissertation, I was writing about how African-American students can excel in sports, but weren't excelling in the classroom. Now, there was a lot of holes, I won't say holes in that, but there was not a lot of data that was out there, right? Not a lot of, things I can find, research, but that was part of it. That was why I was writing a dissertation. My whole first year, that's what I went on. My professors loved it. Everything was good with it. But when I heard about that, I said, you know what? I'm going to jump ship on that. And I'm going to go to something else that I'm passionate about, but that I know I can get done. And that was about looking at small innovative high schools, or no, not high schools, but small innovative schools like charter schools, school within a school, different types of models like that, online schools, so on and so forth, and why the teachers chose to work at them. Now, the reality of that was, I knew I could get that finished because I wasn't as passionate about it. I'm still passionate about it, but it was a little bit less passion, because what I recognized, what my professors told me, was that you got to get this signed off. And every time when you have something that's passionate and they tell you that you got to change this, you got to do this, that stuff hurts. And it's harder for you to get done. When I tell you that changed my life, And that's the same thing that's here that I'm talking about. Sometimes you can be passionate about something. And let's say you get a coach, you're trying to figure out why it's not working. You get a coach and they're telling you, they're saying, man, you got to shift this, you got to change that. And that passion can be blinding sometimes. And so you have to be careful about going into a field always that you're passionate about, or at least have some advice like this to help you to understand what you need to understand if you're doing a passion project in the first place. I know that was a long explanation, but I felt like it was needed, so that's why I talked about it. Number four, market demand. Is there even a demand for what it is that you're doing? Sometimes, again, let's throw that passion thing in there. We want to do stuff, but there might not be a demand for it. Now, watch this. You can decide that this is what it is that you want to do, and it's just something that's a side thing or, you know, a hobby. Knock yourself out with those of us who want to make money. And I'm going to just say money is getting from 500,000 to a million. Let's call it $1 million, right? That you want to be able to just, and a million is a lot, but it's really not a lot comparatively speaking. Well, it's all relative, right? And that I'm talking to people who actually want to do some things. And you want to be able to have a lifestyle that you could do more things with, not just for you, but for those around you. So I'm going to use that as that $1 million mark. There has to be a demand for that. There has to be a demand for what you want, what it is that you want to do and what it is that you're offering. And the number five is scalability. Can it scale over time? Now there are some things that you might get or you might do that it's not really scalable, and that's okay if that's what it is that you're choosing to do. And one of the reasons why things might not be scalable initially is because it depends, the business or business idea depends on you. So if you are not doing it, it is nearly impossible to scale unless you do some of the things I'm going to talk about later on. And so you have to think about scalability from that point. Like, how can I scale? Now, some things you can do. So for example, if you're coaching and you're doing one-on-one coaching, how can I scale that? Well, you got to go to group coaching, right? And so that's a way to scale the idea of coaching that still may depend on you. But then when you're talking about doing it from there, you're going to have to now hire people to be trained in your methodology and what it is you're doing to be able to scale that more. You see what I'm saying? So you have to do something like that. So the five were, does it solve a real problem? Do you have a UVP, unique value proposition? Is it passion? Do you have a passion or expertise for it? Is there a marketing demand, and is it scalable? Now, when I think about that, I look at, you know, different ideas of people who have done some things in this area or things that are happening in this area that make sense to the common folk. Like, I'm not going to use an idea like Sarah Blakely, who did spandex, right? Because that's a $1 billion business. I believe that she had capital when she started, because if you're making a product like spandex, you know, shapewear, that you had to have some money in some way poured into that to be able to have it go and do what you need to do. Dollar Shave Club is another one. That was a unique value proposition, because he was talking about they were talking about offering high quality razors delivered to men at an affordable price, and maybe some women, but their audience really was men, right? So I'm not talking about different things like that, a market demand of Peloton, especially during COVID, because again, those are things that are huge that make it a lot more challenging. But I'm talking about things like, so let's look at solving a problem. I looked up the Mom Project, right? And that was about helping women. So that's an example of a real problem. There are real moms who struggle with finding flexible work so that they can better equip themselves to stay home with their families, you know, raise their kids in the way that they want to raise them, don't have to send them to daycare, want to be around, right? And so this company or this organization created a platform that connected moms that needed flexible work with companies who wanted to hire people with flexible work, right? Like, that's a real problem. And that's something that's great. You might have a unique value proposition where you are looking at, because you guys know I'm vegan. If you don't, now you know I am vegan. And I do have a sweet tooth, let's be honest. And so there might be, you know, the best vegan baked goods, right? and or for events, right? So like, let's say that that's what you focus on. You focus on people who want, who have events and they want to have a great vegan option. And I implore you guys, do that just once and don't tell the people. I said it, deal with it. They're not going to know. It's not going to hurt them. It's not going to hurt them to go vegan. It does hurt if you're not, if you're vegan and you do something else, but you can go the other way. But you understand my point, right? Is that you can do something that has a unique, it's a unique idea that doesn't necessarily cost you. Well, it will cost you because you got to bake and do all those types of things, but it's something that you might also be passionate about. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Right. It could be something that you're starting out and you have an expertise. Like, I don't like to cook and I really don't like to bake. I love people who do love to cook and love to bake, especially vegan things. And so, you know, that would be something that would be good for a person like myself, right? And so there are tons of things. If you're looking at something that may have, you know, a market demand, right? Like, there might be a marketing demand. I mean, look at Etsy. My Lord, you can get anything on Etsy. I love Etsy. If you don't know Etsy, you need to go to Etsy. You can get don't go to Etsy because you'll get lost over there and have a whole bunch of stuff in your shopping cart that you probably don't necessarily need. But everything and anything is over there at Etsy. And I love it because I love that everyday people can find ways to do what it is they need to do. And there may be a marketing demand. I love wooden jewelry more, and some that's ethnic, some that's not necessarily ethnic looking, but I just love wooden jewelry and I love it unique. I generally don't wear gold or silver anymore. I used to do that years and years ago, but I like things that are made from natural materials more so. So where would I go? Like, you can't just go down to Macy's for something like that, right? Or Dillard's, right? Or Burlington. I might have to go to Etsy for something like that, right? And look through the people who are actually catering to something like that. And so those are some things that you can look at that can help you in those areas. Because again, the question you're asking yourself is, am I solving a problem first and foremost, right? Or do I have an idea that I love and it's unique. It's a little bit different. Like, I only do this and people are loving that, right? And some of you guys out there already have an expertise that your family already knows about, but you won't share it with nobody else. I blame you. You need to share it with the world, right? Because they already know it. Turn it into a business idea. Maybe there is a demand for it and maybe you can scale it. But here's what I know is that where you really start with, I believe, is you start with what you know or start with what you love, right? You know, you start there. I'm not saying that I never did this because I have. I am past the point in my life where I am trying to do something just to make money. Because it only serves the purpose of money, and I want to serve the purpose of purpose. That might set somebody free right there, right? And if you are just trying to make money, good for you. There's nothing wrong with that as long as you're doing it honorable, right? But I just want to do things that I love to do, and that's what I want to continue to do. Another way that you can look at things is looking at everyday problems. Like, do you have an everyday problem, and do you know if your people have the same problem? Are you talking to them, listening to them, looking at market trends, all of those types of things. Now, I want to give you those. Let me, that felt like I had a comma, not a period. Like, all of those things are very, very important for you to be considering if you want to look at some of the ways that to ask yourself, is this idea a good idea? And I want to end with, I told you I wanted to end with something that I think is, in today's day and age, what it really is going to take to really get out there and make money. So I'm looking at it from a perspective of not a whole lot of money. When I say not a whole lot of money, I'm saying under $10,000, in some cases under $1,000. But I want to tell you what because there are more people that want to get started with business today than ever before. And it's getting harder and harder to compete with the big boys. You still are going to need some money in some respect, but let me tell you what I think is the wave of the future. The wave of the future is I think that there are three important concepts that you really have to weave together like a tightrope. And then I'm going to tell you what to put on that rope to make it work in the way that you want to work it. Okay. So it's as tight as it can be. So number one, you're going to have to do something that has high quality. It has to be high quality, meaning that it really can compete with the big boys. Even if just in your mind, it can compete with the big boys, right? Like, you have to have something that, in my opinion, is high quality. You then have to have it be low or lower cost, and it has to be automated. That's my three pronged. You can't see how I'm doing my fingers, but you got to tie that like a rope. Those are your three strands that are for starters. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you five strands. I'm going to give you all five of them. So that's three. Number four is time, and number five is as much money you can spare. Now watch this. The reason why I believe this is because we have to get ourselves in a place where we can do things in a much different way. We have to be able to compete. And the way I believe right now that you're able to compete is by doing it this way. And this is because we are in a day and age where the platforms that you need to advertise on are really focused on the big dogs, right? That was why Facebook changed their algorithm. Facebook can be mad at me. I don't care. And I'll still use them, right? They're changing their algorithms to not benefit the small business owners, but they're benefiting the big boys. So what is it that we have to do, right? We have to build products and services that are high quality, low cost, and automated. Low cost and automated. Now watch this. You have to be very, very good at what it is you do to offer high quality at a low cost. So one of the things, for example, I will use myself and one of the business partners that we have with CCO, Mykia. Mykia is brilliant on the computer. She's brilliant on the computer. She can make a website that, the quality of her work is just absolutely brilliant. And she can make a website, digital products, whatever it is that you want, technology. That's what one of the things we do. We're tech company. And so she does high quality. I do strategy at a very high level. And I am the oftentimes the voice that, well, my key is the voice as well, but I'm oftentimes the voice that, helps to make that go well. I'm the one that'll do the podcast. I'm the one that'll do the talks. I'm the one that'll do the videos, those sorts of things. And we're saying, what can we put together? We got some things that are coming out that are just dope. What can we do that's high quality, right? So let's just say websites. Can we do websites that are exceptional quality, but low cost? And the only way that you could do it like that is if it's automated. So if Mykia is doing a website by herself, right? Generally speaking, it's starting at least $3,500. That's on the low end. Like, we're starting at $3,500 because she's the bells and whistles person. If you don't want the bells and whistles, go to someone else. But she's the bells and whistles person. She's going to make it be like someone is going to come to your website and you're making millions already, even if you're just getting started. So she charges a lot more because of the level of excellence that she has, right? But then, so can we take that level of excellence in this example and put it at a very low cost that makes it a no-brainer because they're still getting the high quality and with the low cost? And the only way that I'm seeing to do that is that it's automated. For another example, if I believe as I do that I am a great speaker and that I can do great programs and great trainings. And while I'm saying this, I want you to call yourself great too. Speak some life into yourself. That's just free information, but you do great stuff. Then the only way to give great information that can literally change people's lives, high quality, low cost. Okay. So then I say, okay, can I sell this at under $100? Can I sell it for $50? Really, I should be charging at least $1,000 for it, but can I sell it low? And if the answer is yes, then I need to make sure it's automated. Now, do you have to go that low? That's up to you. But what I'm saying to you is that those are the three things at minimum you have to do: high quality, low cost, and that it's automated. And then you have to, if you're doing it that way, you have to understand it's going to take time. It's going to take time for you to create this type of thing, something that's high quality, that you're going to sell for a low cost, that's automated. You got to create that whole system. Or you got to pay someone to create that whole system. But that whole automated system has to be created, right? And I'm talking about something that's ongoing. I'm not saying just, you know, DIY. It can involve DIY, but something that you're going to keep making money on and keep making money on because it's that good, right? I'm not talking about putting a product together for $7 and giving away a whole bunch of stuff, because watch this. People that really that spend a lot of money and that want the highest quality are not going to take all that extra stuff. They're not going to take it because they don't have time for it. They want it short, sweet, to the point. This is what's going to change your life, because what's most important for them is time. That might bless somebody right there. So then you have the time to create it, and then you're going to have the time to grow it, right? You got to get, it's all about a traffic game. I've said that before. And the way that you're able to do that is take as much money as you can spare and put it towards it. As much money as you can spare. As much as you can spare. And if that's an extra $50, do 50. If that's an extra 500, do 500. If that's 5,000 to get traffic faster, do what you got to do. But that's, to me, in today's day and age, that's what it's going to take to really turn this thing that we're trying to do upside down and on its head, is to really be able to get in there. Now, watch this. I am clear and I understand that this is a different, my model is different from other people's. Some people's model only believe in high ticket offers. Some people only believe in spending $30,000 a month for advertising to get that high end person. And there's nothing wrong with that. I am talking to the masses, more of the masses of us. They're like, first of all, if I had $30,000 today, I wouldn't put it in ads today, right? That's just the way that most people are. And my goal and what we're doing at CCL is talking to the most. Again, that might bless somebody. We're talking to the most. We're talking to that 90% of people that can't afford that or don't want to put their money towards. You can't afford it, whatever the case may be, that top 10%. And that's okay, because we're talking to a different person. So I hope there was something today that I said that's blessing you, to give you an idea of what it is that you need to be doing for yourself and how you can scale it. Is it the right idea? Can you turn the volume up and make it do what it needs to do? I believe that you can. I believe with God's guidance and our desire to serve Him and our desire to be stronger together can be something that's absolutely marvelous. So I'm praying that you continue on this journey, that you're getting a lot of information, that you're making some changes, you're doing what it is that you need to do. And at the end of the day, God will be glorified. We'll see you on the next podcast. Hey there, before you take off, we would really appreciate it if you clicked on that follow button, even download this episode, share it if it was something that you know would be meaningful for another friend, because that is really what's going to help this podcast grow so that we can continue to give you fantastic content. Thanks so much, and we appreciate you following.